Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And this week, well, really quickly, for those of you in the audience who are believers, and I know that's probably most of you, although there's a few of my enemies out there, I try to say hello every week. If you want to know the difference between a work and an act of faith, tune in to last week's Bible study in the book of Romans. Just check it out, because I'm quite pleased with how the study went, having come upon some things and some understanding that I hadn't had before, and I want other people's opinion as to whether or not you believe I'm correct. So just check it out if you don't get a chance to check it out regularly. And then for those of you who are unbelievers in the audience, we have news. That's right. SatanCon 2023 is coming right up. SatanCon. That's the, you know, it's like Comic-Con except with Satan.
Isn't that every year anyway?
I believe they do have it every year lately. Comic-Con, I'm sorry. Did I say? There's a Freudian slip for you. SatanCon is coming up April 28th through the 30th, 2023, in Boston, Massachusetts. Anyway, if you're an unbeliever and you're planning on going to SatanCon, I just want you to know that there will be Christians there. Because Christians always gather at places where there are Satanists and satanic activity. It's like we can't help it. It's like a moth to a flame, almost literally. That's right. So there will be Christians standing outside of SatanCon, and they will be trying to help you people. And you know what? Satanists tend to not hang around where there's Christians. Have you noticed that? First of all, because there's Christians everywhere, and there's not a lot of Satanists, number one. Or at least not active, proactive Satanists. There's a lot of people serving the interests of Satan. But they're not actually like all hail and they got the card carrying, you know, the whole deal. The lapel pin with Baphomet on it. There's not a lot of those. In fact, but before Drag Queen Story Hour, Satanists almost never showed up where there were Christians. But now, Christians show up to protest a drag queen story hour, and here come the Satanists. Yeah. So anyway, they're usually dressed as Antifa, but kind of the same thing. Anyway, back to SatanCon. Now, we don't normally allow any commercial sponsorships, but we are going to promote SatanCon because we know we have a lot of Christians out there in the audience. And we know that some of the folks who listen to this show are the types who will actually show up at SatanCon in Boston. It's called Hexenacht. Hexenacht is what they're calling it. That's the German for Witch's Night. Hexenacht is SatanCon's official tagline.
Why is Germany?
I don't know. Maybe they're reminiscent of Kristallnacht. Maybe they're hearkening back to the satanic link between Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich and Satan and all of that. And they don't even have to hide it anymore.
Satan was before Hitler.
Well, yeah, Satan was before Hitler, but I'm saying that the people, the Nazis were into Satan, you know. Very, very disturbing. Now, if you are planning to go to SatanCon, now, if you're going to be a Christian outside, they will not let you in, and you're not going to buy a ticket, right? Because you're not going to give any money to Satan. So, but if you do plan to attend and go in and take part of the festivities, attendees must be 18 or over, they must show proof of COVID vaccination and and they must wear an N95 or a KN95 surgical mask. Cloth masks will not be allowed.
Well, right there. At SatanCon. I'm not going.
Now, I wonder if you can wear a devil mask at SatanCon and if that'll pass.
That's too joking.
Maybe, yeah, that's... No, they're serious about some things. That's right. And then, let's say you can't show proof of COVID vaccination. What if you can show evidence that you recently took some other type of injection? Like recent fentanyl inject? That wouldn't count as... All right. That's SatanCon. And that's it. They did not pay for a commercial, but that's probably the broadest promotion of SatanCon that's been on any airwaves anywhere. Yes, thank you very much. All right. Now, meanwhile, while the Satanists are looking for Satan in Boston, and they'll probably find him there, model Black China has found God. Model Black China. If you're not familiar, that's good. Because she's one of these, she's a girl who makes a living defiling herself publicly online, which apparently now there are online websites. Do you even call them that anymore? I don't even know if you call them that anymore. There are places where women can film themselves and make money by just defiling themselves online. And this model, Black China, was one of the leading top earners. Reportedly, according to media publications, she was making $20 million a year defiling herself online, live, on webcam. $20 million, they said, in the press, as they promoted her. Last year, she began reconsidering her path and was baptized. And last Thursday, she posted a photo of her baptism with the caption, "I've been reborn. God is good." That's right. The girl who was defiling herself for money online has gotten baptized, has posted a... And her real name, by the way, is Angela Renee White. She posted her real name, which means she's no longer going by her dead name, Black China. She said, "I hope that coming out will enlighten and inspire a lot of people." So here we are, folks, circa 2023, the late, great Bob Enyart's prediction that someday it would be Christians coming out is upon us. This is it. This is it. His prediction, like so many other predictions he made, turns out to be true. as I'll link to the article so you can check this out. The news media and people who... I don't know if you even call it the news media. Social media commentators said they estimated she was making $20 million a year. She says it wasn't nearly that much. It was a lot of money, but it wasn't $20 million a year. So why were they salivating all over each other saying she was making $20 million a year? So that they could tempt every young girl to do this. And every young girl could be defiling herself on... It's just disgusting. Anyway, she did not mention Jesus by name, but we're hopeful for, what's her name here? Angela Renee White. And we're glad that she's at least not defiling herself and others online anymore. That's something. So that's that. Now let's go to the good religion file, where Penn State wrestler Aaron Brooks just won his third consecutive national title, and that's a big deal. That's a big deal because, well, it's NCAA wrestling, which it's as big a deal as deals get if you're into wrestling. And when he stood in front of the cameras with the millions of people watching, he attributed everything, his win, his strength, his agility, he attributed it all to Jesus Christ by name. That's right. He said, "I'm blessed. God used me. He gives me this platform for this right here. It's all for him, for Jesus Christ, all for his glory." Pretty cool. Yes. So he said his name is what he did. Now, I just talked about Antifa and Black Lives Matter. They have a have you seen them do the Marxist humiliation ritual where they make a white person get on their knees and say the name of a black thug that was killed by police during the commission or alleged commission of a crime? Have you seen that? Say their names. Unlike Black Lives Matter, we Christians do not demand anyone say his name. We do not. But when we do say his name, and when wrestler Aaron Brooks says his name and gives him glory, the fakes and the phonies like Black Lives Matter and the Antifa, the tough guys, right, with their body armor and their masks and their lead pipes, the tough guys, right? Well, when we say his name and Aaron Brooks says his name, they all shudder, because that's real power. Real power comes by inspiration and not intimidation. We don't say his name because we're afraid of him or you or anybody. We say his name because we are inspired by him. And that's real power. And Antifa and the rest of the fakers, they recognize real power. And that's why they generally avoid places where there are any Christians. All right, now, let's go to the Queering of America file, where Breitbart is reporting on West Texas A&M University, which you can't get much more obscure than that. West Texas A&M University. Uh-huh. Well, the headline on Breitbart is West Texas A&M will not host a drag show on campus. So that's where we are, folks. When a university decides not to sponsor a drag show, that's news. And I'm just telling you, that's disturbing. That's not, but it's news because, you know, it's a college. We would expect that there would be drag shows going on every afternoon. So, like, it's, forget about tea time. Tea time in England's been replaced with drag time at the university. But at West Texas A&M University, Anyway, we're so far down the rat hole that just staving off the barbarians at the gate for a few minutes during the week feels like victory. It's kind of sad. Anyway, students at West Texas A&M had planned to host a drag performance, which the idea, the fact that university students have the idea of sponsoring a drag show, that in and of itself is appalling and disturbing. And it makes you, it makes you just choke back a little vomit in your throat that's what college kids want to do. But the president of the university is a man named Walker, Walker, Texas Ranger. What is this guy's name? I may not have copied down his first name, but that's okay. He probably doesn't need any credit because he's just he's a man. He's okay with that. He says, as a university president, I would not support blackface performances, even if told that the performance is free speech intended as humor. He said it's wrong. That's all. I do not support any show, performance, or artistic expression which denigrates others, in this case, women, for any reason. He says drag shows denigrate and demean women. A harmless drag show? Huh? Not possible, he said. Canceled! And he stamped canceled on it. And, well, I'm not sure if Antifa or Black Lives Matter, which, by the way, they seem to be obsessed with the whole transgender, sex pervert, weird, strange, gross, weird sex thing for whatever reason. But they have not shown up at his office yet. And out in West Texas, at least, at West Texas A&M, they have held the gates against the barbarians, at least for the moment. Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back as we go from there, which was the Queering of America file. We go appropriately from there into the Guilty as Sin file, where transgender flight attendant Kevin Scott, who went by Kaylee. You may remember Kevin Scott. He gained fame appearing in a United Airlines commercial as a woman. Kevin shared his transition story. This is really annoying because the New York Post says that Kevin shared her story, which, of course, they call Kevin Kaylee. And I actually don't know if Kevin's name was Kevin. I'm just assuming it started with a K and Kevin was the easiest one. Kevin shared his transition story for a 2020 Trans Day of Visibility video produced by United Airlines to celebrate his transition. Kevin declared in a 2:30 a.m. Instagram post last week that he was planning to end his life. And then, in fact, he did. So he killed himself live on social media. He posted, "As I take my final breaths, I would like to apologize. I am so sorry I could not be better. I am sorry I could not be stronger." And then killed himself on social media. I mean, not on video or anything, but in real time. He killed himself on social media at the age of, I think, 25. I thought I saw his age. Anyway, this is from the Guilty as Sin file, where representatives for United Airlines posted on social media after Kevin killed himself on social media. They posted, "We are incredibly saddened and extend our deepest condolences to her family, friends, and coworkers." That was United Airlines adding insult to injury, encouraging this poor guy's delusional behavior, encouraging him even in his death, and then encouraging others who might read. Other similarly disturbed people. United continues to encourage and actively participate in the delusional behavior that got this guy killed. They're guilty as sin, and they could care less about this guy. They used him for what they needed him for, to make themselves feel better about being a bunch of sex perverts. And so now he's dead. So what? So we extend our deepest condolences to her. Disgusting. As well, here's some good news. I don't know. It's at least it's not sickening, disturbing news that makes you want to puke. And it comes from the world of hockey, the NHL. This is from CA Sports, which is a Canadian sports outlet. And it's about Pride Night in the NHL. Pride Night, I said, in the National Hockey League. And the breathless CA.sports reporter, CA.sports.yahoo.com. Okay. says the NHL and its allyship have reached a crossroads. Is the league's Hockey is for Everyone initiative any more than empty words? The Minnesota Wild are in hot water after taking an enormous step in the wrong direction. Despite announcements they were going to wear pride-themed warm-up jerseys, the organization opted against doing so at the last minute. The move sends a clear message that the NHL still has a lot of work to do. Yet another troubling revelation on hockey's stance on diversity and inclusivity. Ivan Provorov sat out warm-ups. He refused to wear the jersey. That move opened the floodgates for others to do the same. Now all these hockey players think that they don't have to get on their bended knee and say our names, say our genders. All right, so you know what this reveals about the National Hockey League and the whole Celebrate Me, I'm a Sex Pervert movement? This basically has exposed the fact that all the queers can do is hiss and spit about it and just look foolish and petulant and pathetic, while the players and the teams appear masculine and strong and standing up against fascist bullies and actually just standing up for what's right. I don't even know if I'd go as far as say it's just standing up for what's right. Just standing up for what's normal and not perverse and sick. That's all. So the NHL players and the teams come off pretty well. Just standing up for what's normal. We can't have that. No, people will start seeing us for what we are. Stop it. All right. So that's Pride Night at the NHL, which I didn't know there could be such a thing. And perhaps the NHL will be where the line is finally drawn. It's like, okay, you know what? This is just, forget about this. Get out of here. Just get back in the closet and shut up. You know, if you don't want to stop with all of that, then at least shut up and get back in the closet, all right? But we do hope they stop, don't get me wrong. But, you know, with the in-your-face and with me having kids and stuff, I get a little bit upset. So, from there, speaking of all that, we'll go and dive into the science... really? File, where we check in with biologist Richard Dawkins. Did I mention he's a biologist? I just want to make clear that Richard Dawkins is a biologist. As a matter of fact, last Monday, the Oxford Fellow, Richard Dawkins, decried the modern discourse regarding transgenderism. That's the headline. From alternative news, allegedly right-wing Breitbart. Dawkins decries the discourse regarding transgenderism. At which point, all conservatives sit up and they're going, oh boy, Richard Dawkins might like us. Can I read? Click, click, click. What does he say? He says, it's bullying. The way this tiny minority of people has managed to capture the discourse to talk errant nonsense. That's quoting Richard Dawkins right there. Richard Dawkins says, quote, there are two sexes. At which point every conservative news show and website, they just stopped the presses and ran with praise, Richard Dawkins. He finally likes us. He likes us. They gushed all over. But that's not where Mr. Dawkins stopped. I just want to make clear, okay? He said, quote, There are two sexes. You could talk about gender if you wish, and that's a subjective statement. Excuse me, Mr. Dawkins, say what?
What?
Is it W-O-T? Say what? That's right, he was on with Piers Morgan. So everybody thought they were smart because both of them have English accents. So all the Americans were very impressed. Uh-huh. Now, keep in mind that Richard Dawkins is one of the top 10 all-time enemies of everything good and right, okay? All of it. All of it. And he said there are only two sexes, but then he said you can talk about gender if you wish, and that's a subjective statement.
What is this?
Well, which basically means he's trying to separate sex, biological sex. He's a biologist, after all. So he's actually qualified to identify a woman and perhaps even a man, him being a biologist and all. But he allows for the separation of gender and sex, which is exactly the problem. So sit down and don't get all excited, huh? Don't get all gushy over the fact that maybe Richard Dawkins doesn't hate us. He does hate us, as well he should. But I have a quote here from Christian author Larry somebody. Says, I appreciate Mr. Dawkins not bowing to the woke mob. I disagree at times with him, but I appreciate him not bowing to the woke mob on male-female biology. Okay, Larry. He didn't bow on the biology, but he did bow on the male-female psychology. Did you miss that? Were you too busy getting all excited Richard Dawkins, were you all excited that he liked you so you forgot to, or you couldn't understand what he said when he went on further? But anyway, and then of course the article, because it's Breitbart and it's always left versus right, always Republican versus Democrat, always tranny versus normal person. Which that's actually okay. I don't mind. It is always tranny versus normal person. Whenever a tranny's being promoted, anyways. But Breitbart reports the left has began to strike back against Dawkins, with fellow atheist activist Hemant Mehta writing blah 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 whatever she said, or he or it, I don't even know. So you have this obligatory leftist rant, right? But in the big picture, who really cares about the obligatory leftist rant? What's more corrosive of the truth? When liars castigate other liars? Or when those who know the truth, like reporters at Breitbart, Christian authors like Larry, what's his name, whoever in this article, when those who know the truth, when they become so desperate for worldly acceptance, what's more corrosive? Two atheists upset with each other because one hasn't bowed to enough insanity and depravity? Or when the people who should know the truth become so desperate for worldly acceptance that they give a pass to a liar because he told a half-truth? Oh, could I feel so blind, so empty that I've never felt wrong? Can I spell it out, turn myself out of my home? Looking like a fool, feeling even worse than it seems. Trying it hard as nails, believing only in myself. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us, and we appreciate always, every week, having you on board. And we go from Richard Dawkins and a half-truth into the Takes One to Know One file, where we've got an interview that took place on CNN. Jen Easterly, who is a Biden administration official. Mm-hmm. In fact, Jen is the director of U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. Can we get any other words in there? No, that's enough. Let's just call it CISA for short, C-I-S-A. That's right. Jen is the director of something for Joe Biden. And Jen pointed out in congressional testimony last week differences in the American versus the Chinese TikTok feed. Uh-huh. That's right. We had the big TikTok hearings up on the Hill. Uh-huh. And here's what Jen, the director of something or other for Joe Biden and Barack Obama, she said regarding TikTok's American and Chinese versions. She said, quote, "I believe this app is part of a long-range strategy of dumbing down the next generation. And we're falling for it," said Jen, the director there at the Obama-Biden cyber whatever it is there. Uh-huh. That's right. Jen said it, and she should know about dumbing down the next generation. Yeah. I mean, she's an administration official in the Obama-Biden administration, for crying out loud. She should know exactly. Then, what's more of an immediate threat, by the way, to your kids and mine? Is it TikTok or the secular government schools? Which is worse? Oh, here's even worse news. We have both. It doesn't matter which is worse. They're both horrible, tragic, terrible, bad. Very bad. And most Americans are inflicting both of them upon their children, which doesn't bode well for the future of America, Western civilization, Christendom, sanity, all of that. It certainly does not. And so there we have from the Takes One to Know One file. She talks about dumbing down. She works for Joe Biden, for crying out loud. It's from dumbing down. We go to the dumb luck file. The dumb luck file, Dateline Chicago. Would-be carjacker Andrew Moran was charged with vehicular hijacking and aggravated battery of police officers after he was arrested. Moran had allegedly knocked on a victim's driver's side door as she was sitting in a parking lot in her car. That's right, creeps up beside her like a creep and knocks on the window. He told the victim to get out because he needed her car. He needed her car, he said. That's, you know, you're being hijacked when someone knocks on the window and says, "I need your car," especially when they have their hand in their pocket like they have a gun, which Andrew Moran did as he scared this woman half to death. So the woman, this poor woman, believing that Moran had a gun, got out of the car, ran and called the police. While she was calling police for help, Moran struggled to get her car moving because he didn't know how to drive a stick. That's right. He was sitting there. Anyway, the punk gave up and ran away, but the police eventually caught him and arrested him. And so all we get out of this story is that chuckle, because this punk is no doubt either about to be released or has already been released. Yeah, but it's a funny story. That's all. And the sad part is this kid who couldn't drive a stick probably going to get himself killed before he ever has a chance to learn how to drive a stick, or he's going to kill someone else. Which is, it's all very sad, but it's funny to think about. Now, meanwhile, we go into the politics file where the Republicans, Kevin McCarthy and others, are celebrating keeping another promise to the American people. That's right. The House has passed the Parents' Bill of Rights, at which point we all said, don't we already have a Bill of Rights? And Isn't the Bill of Rights in the Constitution, and wouldn't merely legislating rights for parents? I mean, at least according to the current process and the system in place, wouldn't merely legislating rights for parents, wouldn't that make those rights subject to the whims of the legislature? Don't worry. Vox populi, vox die. Don't be scared. It's going to be fine, says Kevin McCarthy as he guides H.R. 5 through the legislative body. He and Kevin McCarthy goes on as he ingratiates us with his presence, having now kept a promise to us. He tells us that the Parents' Bill of Rights has five pillars. Mm-hmm. Five pillars. Pillar number one. The right to know what's being taught and see materials, including the dirty parts. Mm-hmm. Pillar number two, the right to be heard, which is a teenage girl right, in case you weren't familiar. That's pillar number three, the right to see the budget. Because we're Republicans and we like to see the budget, that's all. Pillar number five, pillar number four, the right to protect their child's privacy.
Okay.
To protect their privacy, even after abandoning them to obviously unqualified people who we already know want to lie to us about them and their privacy. We want the right to protect our child's privacy, which they actually already have that right. Just keep the kid home. Teach him. But, okay. But no, Kevin McCarthy's going to secure that right for you, Mom. Don't you try to do it yourself. And then finally, pillar number five, the right to be updated on violent activity so we can determine if a bulletproof backpack is appropriate or not. Because, you know, we have a budget too here at home. Might have to figure that bulletproof backpack in, depending on the violence environment there at the government school. Let's see. The main sponsor of the Republican bill was Representative Julia, a former educator. Mm-hmm. That's right. Julia said in a speech, quote, "This bill aims to bring more transparency." And so she's a former educator. So just so you know, transparent, Julia, transparent is by definition clear. You can't have more transparency. Were you an English teacher? Let's assume you were not an English teacher. Let's hope you weren't an English teacher. But let's assume you probably were. So you can't have you can't have more transparency. What you should have said, Julia, is we want less opacity. But you couldn't say less opacity because no one would have known what you were talking about. Why? Because you educated the people in your audience, Julia. And so they're just not as sophisticated as they used to be. All right. Let's see. Julia also addressed parenting. Speaking of parenting, Julia said, "They want a seat at the table because these are our children, not the government's," she said, being part of the government and having just called parents them at the beginning of the sentence. But no worries. She's a former educator. She participated in the dumbing down of the parents she's bamboozling right now. It's something to watch. They want a seat at the table because these are our children. Excuse me? You were not an English teacher. Tell me you were not an English teacher. All right, let's just move on. Parents, just in case you parents were concerned that you didn't have rights, Kevin McCarthy has just given you some. So thank you, sir. May I have another? All right. Now, let's go to the Vox Populi file. You'll have to look that up if you don't know. If you don't know, it's just because you matriculated in the government schools. Oh, maybe you're from another country, and then yeah, I could give you a pass. But if you don't know what Vox Populi means, go look it up. You'll make yourself smarter. Disney, according to, this is a report from thestreet.com, whatever that is. I believe it is a financial related to Wall Street, perhaps. But here's the thing. There is no straight news anymore. In fact, that term, straight news, that's probably offensive. There is no straight news. Everything's been homofied, transified, queerified, and weirdified. Everything. Even people who just used to report on the price of stock. TheStreet.com reports Disney World is giving Governor DeSantis the middle finger. So you read that headline, and I'm sorry, call me a prude, but the fact that a headline can read this way is offensive. We shouldn't mention the middle finger. I mean, a little kid could see this. Well, and even for adults, here's the thing. This is a sign of the vulgarity of the discourse that now dominates. Dirty words and vulgarity are commonplace now. I mean, even on the House floor and in Senate testimony, and people are just vulgar. And I'm just telling you, this is the type of discourse that precedes open warfare. Because once people start swearing at each other, it's just a matter of time before they start hitting each other. And we're swearing at each other in public all the time. So I'm just giving you a heads up, okay? This is not acceptable to use the term middle finger in a headline. And it's scary. Anyway, the story is that a major conference promoting lesbian, gay, and bisexual and transgender rights will be hosted by Disney World this September. Blah. And the reporters at The Street report that this is the largest LGBTQ plus conference in the world. Really? If it's an LGBTQ plus conference, by definition, it could be bigger because it's got the plus, which means we can invite some other deviant group that has another weird, creepy perversion that maybe hasn't been elucidated yet that we'd like to tell other people about. And so, by definition, it could be bigger. This is the biggest pile they have so far. That's right. A pile of more than 5,000 attendees will converge on Disney World in Florida right under Governor DeSantis' nose, whether he likes it or not.
Nah, 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 nah.
And we have a quote here from the event organizer said on its website, over more than 20 years, our group has grown to become the preferred place to network, where everyone belongs and can be out and thrive. Unquote. The Tampa Bay Times called simply hosting the event a defiant display of the limits of the DeSantis campaign against diversity. So they're going to pile up there at Disney World right in front of DeSantis and thumb their nose at him. Disney World, by the way, has hosted the event previously for a number of years and has had a relationship with the organizers going back many, many, many years. And why? Well, that's because they've been the corporate American equivalent of Sodom since at least 2011. And they've been vulgar and crude and something I would not allow my children to participate in since the early 2000s. I mean, since my kids were little, we got them off the Disney. No, Disney was not allowed in our house. And yeah, I remember Disney started teaching kids vulgar jokes back around 2006. They had the movie Cars with the vulgarity and And all those vulgar little heathens, by the way, are now in their early 20s, mid-20s, some of them. Now, as the world teeters on the edge of civility versus war. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. That's right, we're surrounded by women and children and all of that. Colored TV screen, did he say? As if there were any other kind.
Black and right. White.
Oh, that's right, black and white. Black and white? Speaking of black and white, now what I'm about to go into is not so black and white, but it has the flavor of reality, okay? So this is from the Flavor of Reality file. The headline, How They Convinced Trump to Lock Down. So I read this article from dailyclout.io, dailyclout.io. I will link to the story. This is the most plausible explanation of how it is they got Trump to go along with all this that I've read. March 10th, 2020, trusted sources within and around the National Security Council let Donald Trump know a highly classified secret. Remember, Trump was kind of resistant to the whole idea of locking down early on, in January, February, right? And right up until March 10th, actually. And so national security spooks got Trump in a room. And they told him that the fate of all society rested on their shoulders and they're sworn to intense secrecy. The revelation they made was that the virus was not just a regular textbook virus, but it came from a lab in Wuhan and it might in fact be a bioweapon. And there was a fix available. So follow our instructions, Mr. President. The virus has already been mapped. Because we wanted to make a vaccine to protect the population in case this bio. Well, this is all very secret stuff. But thanks to 20 years of research on mRNA platforms, Mr. President, this vaccine that we've been planning could be rolled out in just a few months. So trust us. Lock down. Save lives. Then distribute the vaccine to everyone. Save everyone. All in time for the election. And not only will it reinsure your re-election, you'll go down as one of the greatest presidents of all time. And Donald Trump fell for it. That's plausible to me. The whole thing is very plausible. He fell for it until Scott Atlas in August of 2020, Scott Atlas revealed the whole con on him, and that's in Scott Atlas's book. That Atlas realized what had happened. That the president had been duped. Yeah. So his egotism, his narcissism, his germophobia, all of it had been taken advantage of by deep state creeps who saw their opportunity to not only expand their power and just lord it over people and just have a great time doing that, but to also get rid of Donald Trump. The article closes out by reminding us that Donald Trump says his decision to turn off the economy has saved millions of lives, millions. Later on, even claiming to have saved billions. And Daily Clout reminds us Donald Trump has yet to admit error. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. If he was duped, you know what? I'm willing to forgive him on that if he was duped and he actually believed, because, you know, he was in a position to be duped. And what would be best for him is if he would come out and say, I was duped. But Donald Trump has a problem. Donald Trump has never admitted to God that he was wrong. And so what that means is that Donald Trump will never admit to anyone that he was ever wrong about anything. The fact that he will not bend his knee to God is indicative of the fact that, well, I'm just going to say it. For all you conservatives who voted for Trump and are going to vote for Trump, and especially for those of you who suggest that I should, I just want to go on record as saying that electing one of the crudest, most egotistical, philandering, narcissistic showmen as the savior of America turns out to have been a mistake. Almost as big a mistake as allowing the socialist deep state to metastasize for 100 years. And in its metastasization, take over and manage the education of our children. Electing Donald Trump wasn't as big a mistake as that, but that mistake went on for 100 years, so it's hard to make a bigger mistake than that. Donald Trump, in my opinion, is the manifestation of that error in its final, crude, ugly, dangerous state. That's what it is. That's what he is. That's what his presidency is, was. And re-electing Donald Trump in 2024 is not going to fix the 100-year mistake. It's probably going to exacerbate it in similar fashion to how it exacerbated it in 2020. Only confession, only realization of our mistakes, confession and repentance can bring a positive change without bloodshed. And I'm not saying that re-electing Donald Trump means there's going to be bloodshed. I'm just saying that without confession and repentance of our errors in the church, so-called, because listen, there's a lot of us, we've been standing up and we've been saying this for 20 plus years. Stop this. This is insanity. Stop electing liberals and telling us they're conservatives. Stop sending your kids into a godless, atheistic educational system. Stop allowing the sex perverts to pour out of the closets into the streets. We've been saying this for 25 years. And saying if you don't do this, you're going to get us all killed. You ignorant, stupid children, cut it out. We've been saying it. And we said in 2016, electing Donald Trump is not going to be the solution. Little did we know that it would turn out to be catastrophic, but it turned out to be catastrophic. Only confession and repentance can bring a positive change without bloodshed. Oh, and by the way, there's also already a lot of bloodshed. And many of us have been calling attention to that bloodshed for the better part of 50 years as well. Just so you know. Okay, now let's close with something a little less mundane. Let's go to the widespread hubris file, where the New York Times is reporting that the New York Times contributed to a disinfecting frenzy in 2020. That's right. You remember, a spray and a wipe down became de rigueur on every surface after every use. Do you remember the poor people at the grocery store? Wiping everything down. Every time you swiped your card, they had to wipe the card reader down. And the poor slob out in the parking lot wiping down the carts like a slave, like a serf. And they might as well have put him on his knees and made him scrub those carts. It was so sad. That's right. Fear of the coronavirus prompted people to use more disinfectant wipes and sprays. Spending on cleaning products, this is according to the New York Times, increased 12% between 2019 and 2020. One. And then in parentheses, the New York Times admittedly contributed to this disinfecting frenzy. Parentheses. They mention that yes, we were at fault. And then the New York Times goes on to say, we now know the extra cleaning was unlikely to have helped. Okay, at which point you stop and you're like, wait a minute, we now know? We now know? Look, we knew in February it was a cold virus. We always knew that washing and cleaning and wiping and spritzing and spraying and all of that, that doesn't protect you against a cold virus. You know what protects you from a cold virus? A level 4 bio lab. That's why they wear the space suits, you ignorant morons. Wiping down the card reader was... All right. They say we now know, as if we're all supposed to assume we didn't know before. And you know what? Most people are going to go along with this and assume that we just didn't know. Because most people participated in the hysteria. And they're not willing to admit and say, you know what? I was scared. I made a mistake. That's all. I was scared. I made a mistake. Can you forgive me? Absolutely, I can forgive you. You were scared. You made a mistake. I've done that. I've made mistakes when I was scared or when I was angry or when I was ignorant or when I was, what's the word I'm looking for? Or when I was careless. I've made mistakes and I apologize. But no, they're going to act like we never knew. All right. And then the New York Times mentions that all this spritzing and spraying and disinfecting, it did increase exposure to chemicals, which may be hazardous to our health. And so, folks, cleaning supplies, the chemicals in there generally are not hazardous to your health unless you spritz them on everything all the time, which is what we did for 2 straight years. So, yeah. All right. Meanwhile, from there, we go to the widespread from, what was that? Widespread hubris that the New York Times acting like, well, we did kind of contribute, but by now we know different. We go from there to the widespread megalomania file where we check in with Justin Trudeau, the Caesar of Canada, Hail Caesar. He says, I remember before the pandemic getting fascinated by flat earthers, and trying to understand them. Why would they reject what science settled with the ancient Greeks? And we went on after that, after the pandemic started, to understand the anti-vaxxers and the anti-science, anti-skeptics, and all of that. That's right. Did you know? Because of all that, there are people in Canada who died surrounded by their families because they truly believed the vaccine was more dangerous than the virus, and it killed them. My responsibility as Prime Minister here in Canada, Hail Caesar, is to keep everyone safe. But I can't protect everyone from disinformation. I mean, how do we responsibilize private companies controlling much of the public square? Unquote. I'll stop there. How do we responsibilize? Is that a word? Is that a new word that he just made up? I mean, he's the almighty Caesar. He's allowed to make up words. How do we responsibilize private companies controlling so much of the public square? Well, I got an idea for you, Justin. How about infiltrate them with your Marxist operatives to warp and distort and limit free speech? Oh, that's right. You already figured that part out. He knows how. So why is he asking the question? He obviously has his solution. Anyway, he finally finishes. He says, peace, order, and good government are good mottos in tough times. People understood during the pandemic, Trust our science. Trust the doctors. Trust the government. Trust that the government is going to support you when you can't go to work. But you can still pay your rent and buy your groceries. Remember that? When you couldn't work, who paid your rent? Huh? Uncle Justin. That's right. Who bought your groceries for your lovely little kiddos? Oh, mm-hmm. It was Uncle Justin. Remember that. Trust the doctors. Trust the science. And if all that fails, don't worry. We'll buy your groceries. Everything will be fine. So there we have Justin Trudeau basically comparing people who are skeptical of an experimental vaccine, comparing us to flat earthers. And what does he say here? Anti-science, anti-skeptics. Wouldn't that be a double negative? Anti-vaxxer, anti-science, anti-skeptic. Maybe if you do it three times, it's not a double negative. Anyway, Justin Trudeau obviously matriculated in the government schools himself. We go from there. I don't know if I want to do that. What do I want to do? Philadelphia is going to pay $10 million to 300 and some odd George Floyd protesters, and they're not going to pay it to people whose windows got smashed or businesses got burned. No, they're going to pay it to rioters who claim that they're suffering the pain of systemic racism. Physical and emotional injuries suffered during the violent protests, meaning the riots, that they started. So they started the riots, then they claim they were mentally and emotionally and physically injured. And Philadelphia is going to pay the money for the injuries that the police inflicted on the rioters. Okay. We have a quote from Mayor Jim Kenney. He said the pain of systemic racism and police brutality against black and brown Philadelphians is immeasurable. But we're going to measure it for right now, right around $10 million. And then he said, quote, "We hope this settlement will provide some healing." And then he got down on his knees and he said, "Thank you, sir. May I have another?" As he bowed in front of the Black Lives Matter Antifa, whoever was standing there with the club and the bandana around the face and the club, yeah, and the body armor, all of that. Now, we have abortion is heading back to the Supreme Court. That's the headline. Abortion heading back to the Supreme Court, at which point we were like, well, wait a second. Wasn't Roe versus Wade overturned? And if Roe legalized abortion and it was overturned, why is... But don't ask. Don't look too closely. Because we all know that the national right to abortion was overturned in favor of letting the states resume regulating the nation's abortion industry state by state. That's what happened. Oh, so they're admitting it out loud now. Because not that they haven't admitted it somewhat, but they haven't stated it this clearly. All they've said is Roe v. Wade was overturned. Send us a check. Congratulate us. But now we see that that's right. Abortion's going to be regulated state by state. And that's better. Why? Because there's a chance that some state might make abortion illegal? Oh, okay. But we're going to say it's okay if other states say it's legal, and that's better. Why? All right. Anyway, this case all surrounds the Center for Medical Progress, the American Center for Law and Justice, Troy Newman, who was a board member, and yeah, whatever. All right, so good. Just keep going on that. And now that most of the abortions are taking place at the drugstore, the forces of the pro-life movement will continue to fight the last war right to the last man. And Troy Newman will make sure that everyone is offended by the idea of surgical abortion. And that him and his lawyers get paid while... And he'll celebrate the overturning of Roe and all of that. While in fact what's happening is abortion has now become more clinically unrecognizable, more clean, more silent, more hidden than it ever was when they were butchering children in the abortion clinic and selling their body parts. That was back when abortion was really offensive. And by the way, that battle was lost. And even if the Supreme Court rules that Troy Newman's lawyers should get paid and that Troy shouldn't have to pay the $2 million that right now he has to pay, even if all that happens, it's not going to make one jot or tittle's worth of difference in the state of child killing in America. And so I guess that's it. All right. That's it for the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank my friends at Science Radio. And should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.